Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Forum for Anarchisme podcast episode. This episode, we will be speaking in English. My name is Joost, and today in the studio, we have Sam. Sam is a Palestinian anarchist and activist from Jordan who has come to the Netherlands as an LGBTQ refugee, but stumbled up on a hard, racist, and discriminating migration system in the Netherlands, or in the Dutch society as general. And Sam will be sharing his experiences, and also he will update us what he's been up to. And yeah, take it away, Sam.
How you doing, everybody? How are you? First of all, thank you, Joost, for having me and give me this opportunity today to speak about a few points and a few incidents that happened to me, and also to our small group of queer community refugees here in Netherlands. First of all, I'm going to start with my name. My name is Sam. I'm a Palestinian Jordanian queer social activist, civil rights activist also as well, and also representative of Queer for Justice movement, international movement, and also member of SGP, Student Justice for Palestine. Today, we're going to talk about a few things, starting with the incident happened to me personally in an emergency camp, and also the terrible crisis happened last summer with everybody that was outside Tor Abel, and you know, also for the small group of queer community, we was in Tor Abel as well. Also, we're going to talk about this united struggles between Palestinian struggle, queer struggle, and also Black liberation, and every struggle around the world that has base ground that hold everybody together, fighting the same imperialism and same fascism regimes and ideologies around the world. And all the struggles, I believe, go in the same direction. Liberation is liberation. Love is love. You know, I'm here also to speak about a project that I'm working on personally with our underground movement and Middle East queer movement to help out people in Jordan, other places in Middle East and Africa, for having being safe and being having food and other assistance. As you guys know, queer don't have much right in Middle East or Africa or other parts of the world. I'm a representative of my organization, Queer for Justice, and a representative of a project, Queer's Love. We're going to talk about these things, and I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you, Joost.
Thank you so much, Sam, for being here. You can hold the mic. Let's dive right into your time at Tor Abel.
Sure. Wow, and that's one of the that's where I met you too as well. You know, at this time I spoke in a protest back in August, mid of August, sorry, and we met me and Mark. So it's a kind of horrible situation. The way I'm gonna explain it to you guys maybe different than the way the media is showing. The brothers and sisters in a different ideology community service people and activists came and helped out in Tor Abel. But the people who lived there and slept there see a different vision. KUWA and IND has back in the summertime, they have the chance to host those people and provide them food, provide them a safe spot, and take care of the situation, and not escalate it to the level that been escalated for thousands of people sleeping outside for days, weeks, and months. Me personally, I experienced 3 weeks in a row sleeping outside under raining, and not having taken a shower. I have to go to friends once a week or twice a week to some friends to take a shower, not having food, not having any basic human needed, like any other refugees in general. And I'm gonna talk about our situation as a queer refugee. We are a smaller group, 5 people. We was outside. We have did the first step for IND. Did the first interview. We did the fingerprint, everything. We was waiting outside to be transferred inside, you know. But you know, the Kuwa and Tur Abu representative, they were saying there is not enough spaces, and we cannot hold these people hostage. It's got difficult. They escalated, which is they could. Netherlands is a big country. Around 17 to 18 million population, and it doesn't make sense that few thousand immigrant or refugee couldn't be housed and guests and even places or hotels or even people houses. You know, that's showing unwelcoming. You know, community to the refugees. So we as a refugee, we never respect that from one of the. You know, good economy country, one of the development country, you know, a country as concerns itself first world country, which is, I don't believe in this because we all same word, but that's what they concern themselves. And they respect human rights, they respect refugees. And, you know, that wasn't, you know, in my opinion, that wasn't exist, honestly, with Tur Abu as a crisis situation. So we as a queer, we have units inside Tur Abu. We have between 4 to 6 units. Every unit holds between 6 to 10 people. And 3 to 4 units of those units was empty at that time in Tur Abu, inside Tur Abu. Well, we was a crisis and we was outside. So we was only five. Five queers members, refugee members, and we explained this to Representative Kuwa, Mr. Sandro from LGBTQ plus asylum seeker. He did a fantastic job. He been contacting Kuwa, been contacting the parliaments, have meeting with parliament members, came over and see things on field and with their vision eyes, and also. He have did so many emails saying proof pictures. We have friends of us take go inside the you know from inside queers community, go take pictures of the empty rooms, send it, and he send it to the Kuwa, send it to different levels, different parts of the world. You know, talk to the mayor. He did so fantastic job, and still Kuwa did not give us you know those places which empty, and we have the right to be inside it. And that was not done, you know, and that was, you know, a mystery situation that people should know about it, that they did this crisis to escalate the situation because they want to do a politician work and politic work. You know, they don't want immigrant or refugee. They're not welcoming. You know, if they have hostage people, that's my opinion, honestly. You know, it could be people agree with me, it could be people not. But my opinion is if they have the ability to host, you know, this few thousand people, you know, and is not be should it not be escalate this crisis to this level, you know, people sleeping outside for several months. Like me personally, I did 3 weeks sleeping outside, so that was unacceptable. But again, I tell you, there was more politic and politician, you know, strategy, you know, from the countries and conservative people here, you know, in power, and that's the sadness part. So yeah, again, we go back to the situation. We tried to go inside. We talked to everybody who represent Kuwa and Tur Abu staffs. Location manager. We contact everyone who's still not getting an answer back, either with email or in person, either with us personally or Mr. Sandro, who was representative of LGBT plus asylum seekers organization. He's the hero. He's the man who supports over 700 refugees. We had an event last time. Me and he was in it, and he spoke about his organization. I give this man all the respect and love. And also, it was horrible. We was feel unsafe. You know, some of us trans, some of us gay, some of us bisexual, some, you know, pansexual. We are different, you know, direction of queers, you know. But, you know, having yourself out there with, you know, with other community does not accept you maybe, you know, wasn't safe and wasn't a right decision from Kuwa. You know, and wasn't injustice because we have our own spot and it's empty. couple of those dorms empty, and we fit more than five people. But like I say again, it was for this reason that they hold us. Also, I want to speak about incident happened to me personally. You know about it. Recently, back like a month ago, in the end of November, as you guys represent myself, I'm a civil and social activist for queer community and for every liberation, Black liberation, Palestinian liberation. You know, I represent all struggle around the world because I see it all struggle connected to each other. So I was doing a lot of community service in my emergency camp. I was transferred in the end of August all the way till November. And a lot of groups of community and organizations that I work with donation food, donate clothes, you know, another assistance to the people. And the manager, the representative of the emergency camp, they did not like this, you know. Also, they somehow they was abusing the refugees there. Did not give him assistance. I was have refugees come to me and please translate for me. I need to see the doctor, you know, women's children that's sick need to see the doctor. I was going there, talk to them, and they was, you know, not really showing a concern, you know, and an appointment of doctor take several weeks. So I was complaining about this. We did a complaint. I talked to a couple of journalists, friends of mine. They come to record what's going on, and we did a couple article against this, you know, corrupt. Also, a lot of corruption happened in that location, and I was witnesses, and a couple of people was witnesses, and those things won't come out to the media. They don't like it. They don't like the way I was helping people. They think that I'm getting too much authority, you know, at the spot, and I'm doing too much. I'm getting taken some kind of their, you know, a lot of attention, a lot of authority, a lot of, you know, people like me and believing on me. So somehow I was away from the camp for a week. I was have a few events I was representing and organizing, and came back to the week later to the camp, and was a new manager. She's from the conservative party here. I don't know the party. And she was a very religious lady. And the way she was talking to me, she asked me about, you know, when I was entering the camp, I have some luggage and stuff that my friends and the organization I work with donate to the people, microwave. We donate some food, clothes. And the way I was, me and my friend carrying some stuff to the people inside, she approached me and asked, what are you doing? Where you get this stuff from? And I'm like, yeah, this for the people, you know, this and that. So she was talking to me with the attitude. She said, I heard about you a lot. You're doing a lot of problem, this and this. Don't think you have authority here. You are a refugee. You like them and less than them, this and that. Then I'm like, why you talk to me? That's who you are. Can you represent? Can you identify yourself? Like who I'm talking to? She refused. I have an attitude. She said, to ask me about my, one of the fingers said, do I have a pride flag? And I told her that's my pride flag. She said, okay. Then she started being more aggressive. So I see the homophobic with her. And I called her like, do you have any problem with this? Do you have a problem with me as being, you know, queer? Do you have a problem with being free? She said, no, I don't like you, blah, blah, blah. And start being more aggressive with me with talking. So, you know, I walk away from her. She came 30 minutes later. She said, pack your stuff and you have to leave. But she never say where I'm going. And yeah, she never warned me, give me a warn for and give me any explanation why I was transferred, yeah, you know, from having a conversation. So I was in a kitchen having my meal, eating with everybody. And, you know, I stand up calling everybody, say, guys, they want to kick me out. Are you guys okay with it? So people just came into me and said, no, we want you to stay with us. You've been always help us. You're doing a lot for the community, for the people, for the refugees, and not acceptable. So she see somehow a lot of people come around me, support me. She didn't like this. So she called the police. Yeah. So I was sitting. Everybody sitting was like around 100 people having a meeting in the kitchen. And the police, all of a sudden, 10 officers or 12 officers came and arrested me. And I was slapped, pushed, all the way to the car, slap to the wall, side wall of the rooms, twist my arm, twist my neck, slap me to the back window of the car when I arrived there, handcuffs me, and put me in a car and drive me to the police station. I was searched, you know, being verbally disrespecting to me and stuff like this. And 10 minutes later, came to me and said, yeah, you're good to go. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? He said, no, you're not under arrest. You don't have a ticket. We brought you here just for a trip, and start laughing.
They started laughing?
Yeah, it's for a trip. Like, they make a trip with me, just take me for a vacation or something. Okay. Yeah. So
They meant
did this for nothing. Yeah. Because, you know, the representative or the headquarters of the camp, the manager of the camp, was told them to do this.
Yeah.
So kind of, you know, they gangbang against me. You know, they went gangbang against me. So yeah, I was discharged, and with no ticket, no violation, nothing, not explaining why I was here, nothing. So I did a complaint. Had a couple of my friends spoke with them, my attorney, also Mr. Sandro for our organization, LGBT plus asylum seekers, spoke with them. We did a couple of complaints to the mayor through my attorney, through Mr. Sandro, through me personally, and till this day, we did not have respond back.
Yeah.
About the incident. Yeah. And, even we spoke with the police, we spoke with the representative of police in the police station. We did a complaint, you know, until now we have no update. Yeah. So that was a weird situation, you know, having me personally and experiencing it. And it was horrible, man. It's just, I always think about it, doesn't go away from my mind.
Yeah, you've just been treated like an animal.
Like less than an animal. Less than, you know, an animal. Even animals should not be treated like this. Because I love animals. Animals are amazing. So they treat me, let's say, like I'm less than anything. Like not even a human, you know.
And it's scary that she has so much power also to do
exactly.
That.
What kind of power, what kind of authority that she have to tell the police to do what they did to me, assaulting me, you know, verbally and also slap me, you know, and push me away. Twist my like it took 2 days that my neck I was too twisted all the way inside the car, all the way to the police station. 2 days I was in pain in my neck, you know, red marks on my arms, and I was like, what for? What all this for? What? What did I do? Like, and end up like releasing me with no charge. You know, at least if I have a charge, I will have feel like a little bit I did something. Then I have to fight to deny it, or, you know, to prove myself innocent, which is I am. But imagine, like, getting there and all this happened. And, you know, also, I have a band that has a tile over here. They ripped it up. Like, you know, they ripped it up. And they seized 1 gram of hash from me. This is illegal, which is crazy. And they was, like, telling me, like, you're going to see the lawyer, the judge tomorrow. And I'm like, can I call my lawyer for, like, 10, 15 minutes? Then after all of a sudden, they just release me. They're like, you're good to go.
Yeah.
With not calling a taxi or calling anything, tell me where to go, none of the stuff. Yeah. Like, I have no clue where I'm going. So I slept in that night in a friend of my house. And next day, she drove me all the way to Tel Abel. And I did, sign again all the way to system. Then I was moved to a regular camp a few weeks later. It's a crazy story that's happened in Netherlands, and sorry about it. You know, I couldn't even describe myself more professional as I did, because I can't describe. There is no just word. There's no words or definitions could describe the pain that I'm in from this situation. You know, it's not about physically. It could be mentally, could be, you know, spiritually, could be, you know, in different level of mentally and spiritually. Like, I feel assaulted my intelligence, assaulted me as a human, assaulted my body, assaulted my my education, you know, my right as a human, you know, all this is feelings just always stay with me, and I don't forgive them for what they did. I'm gonna keep fighting. I'm doing a lawsuit right now against him. Okay. I'm working on. I hope I get support from the community, from a queer community, also from refugee community, from the people in Netherlands. I believe it's not everybody in Netherlands that hate refugees. There is good people here, and we have to fight against this, refugee phobic, or homophobic, this ideas.
Well, it's also it's like a cultural problem and a system government problem, because the government it's in their benefit to actually just waste it, like to neglect this whole system, because first they don't need to put energy into it. They can blame all the refugees if they come here, and if it gets, like, if there is a crisis, they just blame the refugees because, yeah, they come here. And also, they don't need to put money into it. So it's just like a benefit for them almost to neglect it in this way.
Exactly. You know what? I just had recently, 2 days ago, an interview with journalist, and he was having an interview with me, comparing with a Ukrainian refugee and me. And my opinion about the system, about IND, of immigration, and about COA, about, what I did experience myself and my friends from our queer community or even refugee in general, I explained it to the journalist, and he somehow, understand what we went through, But the other part, other of my friend was there as a Ukrainian refugee, did not experience what did I experience and other refugee did. So they don't have to go to travel, they allow to work. Me personally, I'm not allowed to work. Any refugee, other than Ukraine, I'm not allowed to work. That's the credit was to the Ukrainian refugee. 100% support the Ukrainian, defense for themselves against Russia and against I'm against any occupation, no matter what. As a Palestinian, I consider my struggle is international struggle and feel every pain of people. So I support Ukraine 100%. But what they do, politicians and politics, they cannot do. They want to divide us as refugees. They want to level us. Like example, they want to have the luxury refugee and a low class refugee. And I don't like to say that, but that's what they're doing right now.
Yeah,
that's very sad. And that's double standard. That's what's showing the hypocrisy of the government of Netherlands and double standard.
Yeah,
should not be accepted.
They're using they're scapegoating refugees also. They put them up like opportunists or terrorists.
Yes, exactly. And they look at it like second class or third class refugee or immigrant, because you're not Europeans, you're not white, maybe you're not from the canton, from somewhere else. But that shouldn't be a problem, because we all and humans, humanity above all things. We all are humans.
Yeah,
we all have different skin of color or language or faith or ideology, but in the end of the day we are humans. We connect each other. We are unique. Each person unique, and I believe that's one of the things I want to talk about. Every struggle in the world have a unique struggle. Every nation in the world has a unique, and culture, history, and we as a humans, we connect each other. We here for a mission. We here for every person have a mission, in earth. My mission to help other, to help my community as a queer, to help all people need it. I love what I'm doing. I love to do community service, helping others. It's a pleasure to me, And I don't look colors. I don't see colors. I don't see faiths. I see humans. That's what I see.
Yeah. So can you talk a bit about what you're working on, right? Or what you're...
So today we're going to talk also about... I'm working on a couple projects. First of all, I'm a member, a representative of a Queer for Justice movement. We are a movement here in Netherlands and also international movement. We helping a queer underground community, to be supported, to have, a place to live, to have, food, all needed, you know, to be connected with us and try to help the much we could do. And also we are into a lot of struggles, helping people different part of the world with their struggles, you know, first of all, helping Black liberation and standing for what right for Black Lives Matter. Also helping Palestinian cause, stand for what right from Palestine, you know, the Palestine be liberated and independent. And also helping the indigenous people and standing for indigenous people all over the world, in America, you know, or South America. Also, you know, standing with Latino struggles, you know, every struggle around the world, Kurdish struggle, you know, every struggle around the world, we consider as part of us and we part of it, you know. And as a queer, we want to tell the world that we are part of the world. We proud to be queer and we proud to be humans. And on and we stand in, we have the same pain as every human. You know, we share the same food, we share the same earth. So we all should be connected and support each other in different levels. So yeah, that's things. And I'm working on a project with the friends of my from back home to help underground community in Jordan, in Middle East, in Africa. It's called Queers for Love. We did a GoFundMe account. We looking for 100,000 to help in over 15 different groups that we connected with right now underground. And also we're going to help more groups looking for more people to help. Maybe we're not going to reach that amount, but somehow from whatever amount a person could help someone that need. Back home people, they work, you know, with a few hundred euros a month, full time. They couldn't even provide food or provide houses for them. So we have to live as a community. We're working on a project, Queer for Loves. It's about community, helping each other, you know, living together, you know, to have social community that comes all the need from each other. Like people, part of people working, part of people cooking, part of people, you know, planning some food, you know, helping each other, having their own community, you know, not needed from the outside somehow, you know. That's one of the projects, you know, that we're working on in Jordan, in Middle East. It's really tough to be queer and to be open about it. Me personally, I experience a lot of discrimination against me being a queer. I'm as a social activist, a civil rights activist in Jordan. I got arrested a couple times. You know, I did the first queer pride, you know, last July in Jordan, you know. So I was arrested tonight for it, for nothing, you know. The party was, you know, damaged and people was, you know, assaulted. Some of us, like, went to jail for just having a bride. Even a bride, it was not even a street. We was inside partying, having a bride inside the house. Our own spot, you know.
Yeah.
So imagine what we're going through right now. Friends of mine is facing that death, you know, from their family based on their sexuality. We help them out to have safe spot, food, you know, all needed, you know, try to come here to Europe, you know, of necessary, you know, which is everyone has the right to feel safe, to be loved, you know. So those things is demand on people, like, believing on helping others, you know. Really, guys, if you could help our project, we'd appreciate it. And thank you, Yost, for having me, like, for giving me this opportunity to be here and speak about my incident, my situation, other queer situations, you know. Be appreciated. I'm so appreciated for your hospitality and your support for this interview.
Yeah, no problem. It does me a lot of good also. And so how can people find this? Like, you talk about Queers of Justice and Queers for Love.
Queers of Justice is, we have Instagram account. It's a new account. So also we have Queers for Love. It's a project. It's not on social media or anything. It's on GoFundMe.com.
Yeah.
You know, we looking for 100,000 euro, but never know what is the donations gonna be. But we working on right now around 15 different groups, and we looking to work with more people. You know, getting free houses. You know, places that, like, around group of people live together, help each other, you know, be safe, you know, not you know, somehow to be away from people that not, you know, accept him as a queer, especially in the Middle East, you know, having their own bride, because we work on a we're working to have a bride every year, you know, back home. And we're not going to give up. Like, for our first bride in Jordan was amazing. We proud of it. It was a few hours and, you know, the party was over because the police, you know, but I think that's not going to make us give up. We're going to have a bride. We're going to be proud of ourselves. We beautiful, queers, beautiful, you know, and we're going to be, you know, enjoying, you know, ourselves and love our identity, you know, and our orientation doesn't matter with our humanity. We're all humans. So, yeah, thank you, Mark. Thank you so much, bro.
You're welcome. I have one more question about this Queers for Justice. That's so you said it's a group in the Netherlands. It's an
organization building right now in Netherlands.
Yeah.
To be have a base to help, first of all, to help people overseas, a queer community, and also help refugees here.
Yeah.
Hopefully in the future, because we're not... too many members,
okay.
You know, of it. We small group, but we everybody welcome to be part of us and help in a different way. We're looking to do a fundraise for the project and also for our group, our movement, and hopefully, you know, next year we build a good community, you know, and also building a society that loved and care and concern about other queers you know, around the world, and also about our humans, which is humans above all things. You know, we are humans before even anything.
Yeah. So, and people are free to join.
Sure, you are free to join. I will add my Instagram account for Queer for Justice and also the project Queers Love. And also, and you guys, welcome in to enjoy. Welcome in. We're going to have a lot of events next year, maybe starting by February. I'm going to have a gallery, you know. And you guys welcome, and please just give a thumbs up and check us out. And
okay, we'll put it in the show notes so people can find it.
Thank you so much.
There was one more thing you wanted to talk about here in the in Amsterdam. Actually, you had an incident.
Yeah, I talked about it already.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The white supremacy?
The lady. I talked about it, the manager. Incident, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
This incident happened last week. I was visiting a friend of mine at the community house, you know, and me and my friend was going to the club around 2 a.m., sorry, in the night, and we was going through this park in the west area of Amsterdam, and a bunch of guys, like, you know, was walking, white supremacist guys, like five or six of them, and a black brother was on a bike driving, going his way, and they was calling him the N-word, so me and my friend were walking to them, and what's going on, why are you guys calling this, so they tried to attack him. You know, and they try to be more aggressive, and because he's only about himself, and they like five. But when we show up, me and my friend, we became three. So they somehow, you know, squatch out and try to, you know, solve the problem. Say, oh, we drunk, we don't mean it, blah, blah, blah. But they do mean it, you know, and do white supremacists exist here in big time. You know, I just want to give a thumbs up to our brother and sister, the black community, black liberation is matter, black lives matter. As a Palestinian, I love you so much, guys. You know, you guys, your struggle is my struggle. I have so much of our brother and sister in the black community, you know. And as a queer also, I love you. Queer lives is matter too as well. And, thank you for having me. Thank you for all this.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you all for listening. This was it for this episode. A little shout out to groups who were helping refugees in Ter Apel and who are still doing some refugee work or activist work. So please check them out. Vrije Bond Friesland, they did some meals for the refugees there. And also check out De Deblokkeer Friesen. They have an Insta account, and they have a tree link, which we will share in the descriptions of the podcast, and check out Migrate. They also do a lot of refugee work. And of course, Sam's projects he's working out, but we'll also share them in the description. We don't know when we will be back with the next podcast and also what topic to cover. But if you have any suggestions, please let us know. Send us an email at fva@riseup.net. And I wish you all nice holidays.